Going back to 2 Timothy, we're in the second chapter, and praise be to God, in that wondrous 15th verse is where we'll begin tonight. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, that by the grace of God, we will not be ashamed to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I thank God for that. You know, there's some that will be ashamed. There's some that will have to have a tear wiped from their eyes. Now, I do not say that any of us have already apprehended or attained, but I do trust and look to the grace of God to finish this course, this life, with a full joy. And I thank the Lord that I know that it's all by the grace of God. I thank God that we know that just by apprehending that mercy and grace, that's what's pleasing to the Father. It's all your Son, Father. It's all Jesus. It's all the precious Lamb of God. Isn't that wonderful? That we come together and we glory save in the cross. That's it. It's Jesus. It's Him crucified. It's the finished work. Praise be to God. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. But as it begins here, study to show thyself approved unto God. I love how this is defined. Truly, you could say, endeavor to be revealed as a treasure unto God. That's what this means. So many people take this as, well, I've got to be some type of a nut and try to show everybody how wise I am in my nutty self. This isn't Bible lit. This is getting to know a love. This is getting to know the love of Christ. And I thank God that the endeavoring is because of the love of Jesus. The endeavoring is because I do love the Father because of the love of Jesus. And I'm endeavoring by His grace to be revealed as a treasure unto my Father. Praise be to God. A laborer, that's the workman that it mentions here. And this workman is defined as one who labors thankfully, one who is thankful and is fulfilled in the task that God has called them to. Isn't that wonderful to know that Christ in you can cause you to be content in all things? Doesn't matter what it is, no matter where God places me, praise be to God, He's taught me to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. That's wonderful, brothers and sisters, that we know that we're just passing through. We're abiding. There is a peace that passes all understanding in that, just resting in the Lord, thanking God that you've placed me exactly in the body to win your very best. That my life has great meaning, everything that you've called me to, Lord Jesus. It's a perfect plan. It's a perfect path. These are the before ordained good works that I should walk therein. Now, they may seem very trivial to man. They might not seem very important to this world. People may look and say, my goodness, you've underachieved and underachieved and underachieved, but God. And that's all I can say is, but God. Brothers and sisters, we look to the Word of God and we know that there are written about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. All the blotches, all the mistakes, all the things that they wish they did not do, all the times they failed, but God. And God took those, praise the Lord, that were weak. God took those that were needy. God came to save, hallelujah, the ones that were lost. It's wonderful. See, He looked for the ones that were the cast-offs. Not just the one-offs, but the many-offs. We're talking about the peculiar ones. The ones that are the odd ducks, praise be to God. I think how the Lord has drawn us here from all walks of life. What a beautiful thing. And here we are in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace, all because of the oneness, the one that we are in Christ. That's the beauty of it all. That's why, by the grace of God, I know my brethren. I may not know you personally in a lot of different things, but I know you better than I know anybody else because it's Christ in you. There's a comfort, there's a peace that I have with no other people like I do with the family of God. Praise the Lord. This is what it is, and I'm thankful. This isn't just play around on Sunday. It's who we are in Christ, and I thank God for it. So, the Lord encourage us, brothers and sisters, in this, that knowing the Lord encourage us all the way in Him. And notice again what all of the fulfillment is in this endeavoring to be revealed as a treasure unto God. See, the fulfillment is not in these mighty works of self-righteousness that so many want to be seen as. They're not in these big grand plans. They're not in all of these big things that people like to talk about and get people excited about. It's precisely in one thing that the fulfillment in it is in, and that's rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we happen to be doing tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Endeavoring to be revealed as a treasure unto God. I believe that's the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And isn't it wonderful? It's in one place. Knowing Jesus. Knowing the Word of God. Hallelujah. Knowing Him. And you think about how it says here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And brothers and sisters, that rightly dividing, it means to cut straight ways. It means to proceed and hold on a straight course. If you recall when we studied the sweet cherubim, their feet were straight. They moved with only as the Spirit of the Lord moved them. They always moved together, praise God. They were always in harmony with where God was leading. There was no swerving, as we've seen these ones that Paul had warned Timothy about. There was no swerving from the truth. There was a press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we've been reminded of this again and again. As Paul said, you'll understand all things, Brother Timothy, as you attend to and take heed to my gospel. It's so clear, isn't it? Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? God doesn't leave us guessing. It's clear, and it's clear to the light. Praise His name. It's Jesus Christ. It's His word. It's, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Isn't that wonderful that we go to the Word of God? And it's not going to the Word of God just to look at words. It's going to the Word of God to apprehend who has already apprehended us. Praise His name. That's the exciting part about this. I know, and thank God, this is not new in a lot of ways to us to hear these types of things. But brothers and sisters, do we realize how rare this is? You are special. Praise be to God. He's called you by His grace. And you have an ear for it because He gave you that ear, because He gave you that heart. And praise God, that heart expressed those words, I will go, and He has come for His words. As sister prayed, Lord, we need more faith. Well, He's going to give us more situations. Don't you worry about it, that we're going to need more faith. Bringing us up against things that, man, I thought the hard parts were over. No such thing as retirement with God. That, you know it. It just keeps on cooking hotter. It's just the way it is. When that jewel so rare is ready to be set in the crown, let me tell you something. It endured every single thing that He supplied. Praise be to God. This is exciting. But you see, brothers and sisters, it's all in the Word of God. It's all in Jesus. It's all in knowing Him. It's all in growing up into Him in all things. Coming to a full, exact, complete, intimate knowledge of the truth. I wonder where we've heard that before. How about 1 Timothy 2:4? How about 2 Peter 3:18? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How clear. I love to tell everybody about the purpose of their life. And that's their purpose. That's your purpose. That's your calling. That's what he would for every man. I would that all men be saved and come to a full, exact, complete, intimate knowledge of the truth. Praise the Lord. God, help us to settle down. That's all I pray. Lord, quit me of me and let Christ in me just reign. Hallelujah. But see, this pattern, brothers and sisters, it's over and over in the Word of God, and it is so precise, and it cannot be overlooked. See, this is not just merely studying. This is knowing. There's a difference. You can read words and memorize. You can quote things. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about knowing it. See, it's interesting. I remember how Brother Hill would talk about the Grand Canyon. And he'd talk about how beautiful, and the light would hit it, and it changes every minute of the day, and how immense and big and all of this. And even if you see pictures of it, that starts to get it a little bit. But until you get there and you stand on that rim, you've never seen it. That's the same way with knowing the Word of God. I've been there. I know it. I've seen it. And without a vision, the people perish. You know what I'm talking about. It's not just quoting a verse. That's mine. See, this is the vault. Hallelujah. And he put the treasure. Hallelujah. In here. He protects it. And I walk all around that vault. Praise God. And there's my jewels. Oh, Romans 8:28. And he'll perfect that which concerns me. They're all there. And I go through that vault every single day. Every single day. Not just once in a while. See, that's what happens sometimes to God's precious people. They forgot that it was there. You've already been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. It's there. But know it's there. Isn't that wonderful? Walking around saying it's mine, 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 all is mine. That's good stuff. That's living, praise God, seated in the heavens in Christ. Not just talking about it. I'm there. Hallelujah, because the Bible tells me so. But see, and then once you know what I'm talking about, there is believing it. So it works effectually in us, brothers and sisters, that the transformation begins in our lives. And I'm talking about the transformation that never stops from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory into his very image. Praise you, Jesus. And then Paul goes on to say to Timothy, the warning flag he waves up again. He tells him all this precious stuff in verse 15. But boy, verse 16 is right on it. Here it is. You cannot overlook this, brother. The warning flag of how the straight paths are picked at and overthrown. The warning flag, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And Paul's getting very specific with Timothy and how this happens, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something, we best take heed. Because he's preaching to the Timothys right here. By the grace of God, I'm one of them. I know the truth. But son, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And here is often how it's done. Listen to verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. See, we heard this in verse 14 already, brothers and sisters, and we're going to hear it again in verse 23. And this is serious. Don't entertain things that aren't the truth. Did you hear me? Don't give time for this stuff. See, a lot of times in our own goodness, we want to try to be, I don't even know, polite. God tells you to stand and withstand, and having done all to stand, you cut it off. And this is a warning why to cut it off. Don't try to, well, I'm going to endure this and try to do a backdoor approach here and, you know, I'll get in some other way. No way. You take it by force. Come on. Come on, I don't think our passion level by the grace of God. And again, it's nothing to me. But brothers and sisters, it's time to get excited about how much Jesus loves us. It really is. Time's a-wasting. And my goodness, life is so much better when we get excited about the love of God. But see, don't try to figure out why someone wants to believe error. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to, well, I don't understand why they see that. Let me tell you something. It's all the confusion of the enemy, and a life that doesn't want the whole counsel of God, they won't have it. The Word of God tells us that he that wills to know the will of God will know it. Amen? Because that's the will of God. He'll withhold nothing from you. It's his very desire and his very purpose. All he wants from us is to take the grace to desire it. And know that you couldn't desire it of yourself. All he says is ask for the grace to, and you'll have it. You'll have God's very best. Now, I took classes from a school of theology in college because I had to. And I soon found out that all they wanted to do was to argue and entertain foolish questions and thoughts about the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that I didn't necessarily think of 2 Timothy, but I'll tell you what, the Word of God was sure thinking of me. And Christ in me, even in my ignorance, it just shut that off. Well, I'm done with that. I don't want to try to entertain fools. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when you try to reason and you try to think that somehow you're as smart as God, that's foolishness. And I don't want any part of that. The simplicity in the gospel of Christ, I'm thankful to God I heard that when I was a young person. And I thank God that somehow in my orneriness, God was still dealing with me. Can you imagine? And I knew the Word of God. And I knew the Word of God enough that I knew God knew. And I knew man didn't. And I knew man, when he started asking foolish questions about why is the sky blue and the grass green, and well, why do you think Jesus saved us? How about John 3:16, and let's put it to rest. That's all I need to know. For God so loved me. That's it. I can get that. I could ask him why. I'll never understand that. But I do understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for me. I can get that because he wanted to bring many sons to glory. I can understand that there's no good thing in me, that I don't seek God, that I was born in sin. And that's the whole plan, is that it was all about his son. And it's going to always be all about his son, because that's my son. That's it. But how God did it, I still just go, wow. Only God could think of that. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's why man can never put his mind around it. That's why it's got to be by faith. It's got to be by my spirit, saith the Lord. But see, brothers and sisters, God so plainly, he tells us his salvation, about his salvation, about it's by grace. He tells us about the Holy Ghost. I think about how sweetly he tells us about the bridal time that we live in. So how about resting in it? See, I think of it like this. When you are in love and your lover 24/7 tells you, assures you, shows you how much he loves you, why in the world would you entertain idiots, foolish ones, maybe jealous ones, evil ones, that would want to tell you lies, when the one that sticketh with you closer than a brother, the one that will never leave you nor forsake you, is telling you 24/7, every moment of the day, I love you, I love you, I love you. God, don't give me itching ears for that nonsense. Protect me. It's a straight way. God, let my face be turned only to you. This is what it is. See, I don't want to doubt his love. And see, when we give entertain those kind of foolish questions and strives, it just promotes more of it. It doesn't stop it when we try to discuss it. I'm not afraid of it. It's not that I can't combat it. If God allows me to say something in the Word of God to it, it'll just be, it is written, and then it's going to stop. I knew some of these things, but I'm telling you, in experience, by His grace, the past 7 years has been a crash course. I don't have a lot of time. I don't. And I do not have time to fool around, and I won't. If somebody does not want the Word of God, that is their loss. If they want to roll around in the mire as a child of God, you're not going to pull me into that pig pen by the grace of God. People sometimes can think it's cold, it's callous. If there's a heart that wants to know, my goodness, I want to be there with a cold cup of water in a moment. But when it's a one that just wants to entertain foolishness and get there and just have a pity party in a lot of ways, it's time to pass by that city. You're wasting your time. I love Him more than those things. And we are willing, because of Christ in us, to leave even our father and our mother and our sister and our brother and to follow Him. And praise God, what a privilege to follow Him. Hallelujah. And it's okay if this is on tape. I'll get some calls about it, so it's all right. 17 and 18. And their word, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, we already touched on these guys back in 1 Timothy verse 20. But Timothy is charged right from the get-go from Paul to hold faith and a good conscience. To have it in a good conscience. And Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander, they had put away faith. And when you put away faith, brothers and sisters, you have to really tie this into exactly what it means. It means there's no more hearing of the Word of God. They don't want to hear the Word of God anymore. When you put away faith from your life, you're turning from the Word of God. It's done. You don't want to hear it. You want to go by feeling. You want to go by vain imaginations. You might even want to give sermons by reading a bunch of newspapers and speaking of current events. I don't know what you'll do. Timothy, preach the Word. I'm not here to entertain. By the grace of God, I just want to be encouraged of the Word of God. And if the Lord see fit to use me for that, praise God. The study at home, praise His name, is the same thing, inspired of the Holy Ghost, that'll be coming forth. And what a meal it will be, because we look to Him. But see, it said Paul delivered these ones unto Satan to learn not to blaspheme. We talked about there's ones like that, that yes, they're Christians. They don't lose their salvation. But if a Christian wants to be led around by the enemy, it hurts to see it, but so be it. That's the way they want to go. That's the way they'll go. And I'm sorry for it. But it says these guys overthrew the faith of others. See, there's a difference when you just don't want to go with God and then you start overthrowing the faith of others, because now you're starting to hurt the body. And as the word says here, they are cankers. And if you really look at that, they're a diseased part of the body. It's like speaking of gangrene. You think about legality and what it does to God's precious people. Think about what vain babblings do. Think about when, and one of the most common phrases I hear is, "The Lord told me." That's a very big red flag in the ministry. The Lord told me. How about "it is written"? Let's start there. It is written. And let's stop there. It is written. Pray for people. Pray for people. See, what happened with these guys, They even got into the resurrection is past. Can you imagine that? Oh, ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You're believing a lie. I'm just giving you different examples. See, they don't obey the truth anymore, and that's exactly what these men were doing. You see, again, the sins of the flesh are hurtful, but swerving from the truth pushes away faith and hurts the body. And as the Lord says, I would that they were cut off, and sometimes that literally happens. See, because God will not be mocked. You can get so far from God, brothers and sisters, you can't imagine what you might be believing and worshiping when you get away from the Word of God. And they started even preaching at this teaching that the resurrection was past. There's a group of them today, they're called preterists. Did you know that? Big, huge group of them, I should say, good number of them, over on the western slope. They believe that we're in the millennium right now. And I know many of them, or some of them I do know, and I know that they're saved. But they believe that we're in the millennium. They don't even get the Bible out anymore to talk about the Lord. That's how you get to that point. Do you see? You'd say, well, what in the world? We're in the millennium, are we? I can't even go there. Thank God. And again, that's all by grace. But I tell you, that's why we must pray. Sinful preaching begets more sinful preaching, and it does not stop. All right, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God. Isn't that wonderful, the foundation of God? See, it doesn't move. The rock that's higher than I, it don't move. It standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Isn't that precious? I love that. See, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. He will never be moved. He will never be moved. And yes, he knows them that are his. He knows his sheep. And praise God, his sheep know his voice. I love that. I love that. That's why we can pray and we can hope in the Lord. And in the name of Jesus, let us yield to it. See, the power that lives within us, brothers and sisters, we have to understand this. The power that lives within you has conquered sin and death. We're not of it. We're born again. We're new, brand new. That old man is dead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's not entertain or give opportunity for it to reign over our lives. See, we know, brothers and sisters, that whatsoever is not of faith is iniquity or sin. But in this context, I want you to really know this. He's emphasizing here this sin is vain babblings. This sin is error of the truth. And even more specifically, this error that Paul is getting at is when you don't heed to my gospel. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful that you know this? Aren't you thankful? Praise God. It's wonderful. He's allowed you to. You're called and chosen. And thank you, Jesus, that we're attending to sound doctrine. And God help us to not depart from it, brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. Hallelujah. Verse 20 and 21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. All right, now, there's a lot of vessels in God's house. And what this is talking about is this time that we live in. And praise God, God's got a lot of children. Matter of fact, even in heaven, he calls one of the companies of them, an innumerable multitude. But all of God's children, and I think we need to really get this straight in this context, brothers and sisters, all of God's children are vessels of gold and silver. That's all that God has. Hallelujah. They're all gold and silver. And the beautiful thing about gold and silver, and I appreciate how Brother Copley brings this out, you know, they're vessels by God's grace. And even if they're heated and melted down, they don't perish. It's still gold and silver. They remain, don't they? Hallelujah. It's always there. That's the difference about gold and silver and the opposite, which is wood and earth. See, wood and earthen vessels, they're going to be destroyed. They won't be any longer. And there's a difference here about wood, hay, and stubble. You see, we can still be, we are, as children of God, gold and silver vessels. But our life could only be about building wood, hay, and stubble. So those things of wood, hay, and stubble, we understand, will burn. But as it assures us, that child of God will never burn. They will be spared because the Lord knows them which are His. When we are written, praise the Lord, in the Lamb's book of life, that is ink that will never, ever fade. Hallelujah. Because it's the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And that's what it is. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we know this. So simply, vessels of honor, brothers and sisters, now magnify the grace and mercy of His Son. The vessels of honor magnify the blood of Jesus. And anything else, those are the children that dishonor, those are the vessels of dishonor. So know it. It is that simple and it is that exact, that it is my beloved Son and hear Him. But then, deeper still in this precious couple of verses, it brings out the sanctified vessel. This is the vessel that is set apart. This is the vessel, praise God, that is even beyond the gold and silver. We're talking about a vessel, praise God, if you'll go with me in this, of a jasper stone. We're talking about a diamond. We're talking about a goodly pearl vessel. We're talking about, praise God, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. We're talking about that there is a glory of the moon. There's a glory of the celestial bodies. But there is nothing like the sun glory. Many run that race, but only one wins. This is, praise God, as Brother Hill used to bring out. This is the vessel that is set apart solely for the Master's use. Now, a lot of times in a home, you'll see the very fancy vessels that are set out there, and they're all elaborate and all of this type of thing, and people walk by and they ooh and they aw and all that. But as Brother Hill used to bring out, and I loved it, but that master had a mustache cup, and nobody else was going to use that. Matter of fact, most people never even saw that. That was set back somewhere in a cupboard, but that master knew exactly where that cup was. It was only for his use. I love that. I just thank God how simple those things are. But see, this is talking about a vessel that is treasured by the Master and is not shared with anyone else, often hid away so that maybe no one else sees very often. She's mine, mine, mine. All is mine. See, that's hidden away in Christ, brothers and sisters. Do you think any of those ones in Egypt knew who Joseph was? Come on. They just thought him a slave. They thought him a nothing. They thought him all. That was God's choice. That was God's showpiece. I'm going to show you that I can raise up a man of men of God right in the heart of Babylon. I'm not going to have any godly around him. I know his heart because I gave it to him. And I'm going to encourage that boy 24/7. Even when it hurts, even when it's not fair, even when he's given all that he's been able to give because of the grace of God, and yet he's still spit on and cheated and despised and still thrown into a dungeon, he's still going to praise the Lord. Watch him. Watch Christ in him. Watch the show, praise God, of faith upon faith. That's awesome stuff. God's doing that with us right now. It's so wonderful, brothers and sisters. This is what this is. This is this sanctified vessel that is set apart unto God. And it was precious to my heart. This is very romantic. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I believe some of you will understand what I'm saying in a good way. See, we have a jealous God. You're very quiet. But you have a jealous God. And he's jealous over you with a godly jealousy. And there's one thing he's intent on. He wants you to grow up into his son in all things. And I love that pursuing. I love how it even talked about, you know, whether it was the affection for Esther or the affection for Ruth or the affection for Rachel and Rebecca from their husbands. There was a love and an affection. And there is, brothers and sisters, a part of, I can honestly say from my life, my heart rests in my wife. I'm thankful to God because of God's grace. But I'm very protective of her. I'm very protective of her. She's my wife. She's my wife. And you will know that she's my wife if I felt that something was going down that wasn't good. And she's known that too. And it's not that I'm not comfortable in who God has made me or her affections for me. But I do have, and I will say it in this regard, a godly jealousy for my wife. And it's a romantic thing. It's not in any type of ownership. I hope we know that. She's free as free can be. But I love her. And how much God loves us, brothers and sisters. Takes my breath away as he shows me a little bit just in how he's appointed it in nature with a husband and wife. How much more so his affections are towards us. His thoughts towards us more than the sands of the sea. And we used to think that that was a lot. But now we understand that the stars in heaven, they just keep on multiplying. So there might even be more of them. I don't know. All I know is he does. And all I know that that means them thoughts are beyond finding out. Praise his name. But see, that's what it is. See, he's ravished by her and only her. This is this sanctified vessel. Meet just for him is what this means. And for his use. And prepared unto every good work. Isn't that awesome? To know that his life is what wills and does of his good pleasure in us. You've heard me say it many times, and I was rejoicing with a brother back in the office before coming out. I'm getting more and more excited. I'm almost at the point where I don't think anymore. God keep me there. The peace that passes all understanding, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Trusting the Lord. I mean, just trusting the Lord. I mean, I've got genes naturally in me that worry. Wear your pants inside out. But God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. 22 through 26. Flee also youthful lusts. See how I grow up. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice how he brings that fellowship in the gospel of Christ back. See, brothers and sisters, we can try in ourselves to think that we're going to have this with people that don't want God's best, that don't want to have things to do with God, and we can think of these pretty thoughts, oh, this is love, and we're holding hands, and we're skipping yippee. It don't work. It doesn't. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Listen to the word of the Lord. I know I'm preaching to ones that come to a Bible study on Wednesday night. I think you get what I'm saying. And again, that's all because of the grace of God that's with you. All right. But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid them, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It just has hit me. before we get into what God has given me in a couple notes for this. You pass by those brothers and sisters that don't want to have anything to do with God. A lot of time they might be nice people, might be some of your dear friends. But brothers and sisters, lovest thou me more than these? But what about the ones that maybe you've known throughout your lifetime? I'm talking about your Christian brothers that may have been unlovely or gone through an unlovely phase. But now you know that the Lord is encouraging them back to run the race. Are you going to forget those things which are behind? Are you going to take the grace of God in meekness and instruction and praise the Lord, recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will? Huh? You see what I'm saying? A lot of times in our flesh, it's easier to just deal with the ones that don't want to cause me any hurt. But the ones that may have caused the hurt might be the ones that have the heart for God. I'm talking to Philadelphia right now. Philadelphia here? It's a mark. It's exact. Give it up. Amen? This is about winning him. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. That brother who is taken in a fault, restore. Encourage. What a victory. Only the grace of God. All right, let's wrap it up. What this is saying in 22 through 26, grow up. Put away the childish things. And notice what it says first of all. Follow righteousness. See, it says there in 22. Follow righteousness. See, it all begins with Jesus. He's the righteousness of God. That's it. Follow Jesus. It's not your own self-righteousness. Here, okay, I put away the use. Now I'm going to put on my good works. No. It's Jesus. It's my son. Hear him. Here it is, the word of God. This is where we go. This is where it is. Follow him. You're not going to go on. You never even go anywhere without him. He's been made the righteousness of God for us, and we follow him. And how do we follow him? Well, here it goes. Just boom, 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 boom. By faith in love. Faith, charity. Amen? Faith which worketh by love. That's what it is. The word of God, the pattern, over and over and over. Here's my son. That's it. And how you follow him is by faith. And how do you receive faith? By understanding the love of God. That's all it is. Over and over. It just continues to multiply and multiply itself. It's that grace for grace. I so appreciate that. It's so real, brothers and sisters. And oh, the peace that passes all understanding. And then you want to gather with them. Praise God. And you want to run the race with them that call out to God with a pure heart. We're talking about sincere ones, ones that are sincere to the light, that transparent company. Amen? The ones, my goodness, they look a lot like Jesus. Those are those ones. Not the ones that are all in the big events that can walk around and tell you about all the great things and I'm putting this together and we're going to go over here and save all of this. Put away the useful lust, the youthful lusts. So, it's by faith, it's by the word, it's by his life that dwells in us. Let his life lead us through his word in love and peace. And you'll notice here, it's not just a knowledge of it, but by grace, it's the effectual working of it to make it alive and living in us. And there is a big difference, brothers and sisters. See, we can know something, but then we can have it living in us. See the roar that's coming? That's what it is. You're not going to be able to do anything about it, so it's okay. Do you trust God for all of it? I pray you do. Your car might be a boat right now, I don't know. But it's okay. It's okay. I trust God for that too. But you see, This is the difference here, is grace, brothers and sisters. Now trust His grace. God has given you knowledge of these things. By the grace of God, you understand His very plan. He wants you to rule and to reign jointly with Him in the midst of His throne. He wants you to be glorified together with Him. You know that He wants you to be His wife. Amen? You know that. You know these things. That it is a company out from the church. Praise God. That she is a rib portion. You know these things. Now it's grace that's going to make it alive. Praise God that you gave me the grace to know it. Now God, by grace, every moment, make it alive and living in me. Pray for that, brothers and sisters. And God will bring that because it's the will of God. You may feel flat, but it's okay. Pray for it. God will spark it. And He will. And He does it again and again. You know that. Sometimes you have to wait upon the lover. Praise God. Patient, be still. Know that I am God. That's how it is. Trusting in the Lord, let Him do it, brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you, the works of faith and love will work in our lives and cause us to do things that we never imagined. And then you think about, as he wraps it up here, the signs of the mature. See, they avoid foolish questions and striving. See, you want to get into that? Sometimes that gossip session and all that. I'm not trying to say act haughty or something like that, but just remove yourself from those types of things. That's not edifying. All that's going to do is stir up gossip and that bickering and all of those things. See, that's not going to meditate my mind on the lovely and the good report. That's not going to be the things that I'm going to be thinking on. God doesn't want that. Lord, protect me from myself and giving over to those things. See, mature ones, brothers and sisters, they understand that their fellowship, their life, their citizenship is in the gospel of Christ. And in that, you'll become gentle and patient and meek, praise God. You will not be puffed up. You will be encouraging others in truth, in love, doctrine. That's who you'll become. And see, brothers and sisters, we've all gone through it. If, praise God, I'm reading things that the Lord has graced your life to become, you know at one time in your life as you began to know these things, you started to feel a little bit haughty. Come on. Well, my goodness. I know what Ephesians means. And then, as the Lord continues to work His grace upon you, you realize as you sit there tonight, I don't know a thing. But Lord, Thou knowest. Praise be to God. Isn't it wonderful? That's the beauty of Jesus. But see, brothers and sisters, only that then can cause a child of God to lay aside every weight. I'm talking about having a testimony for somebody. I'm talking about really bringing a cold cup of water that can encourage a life that might be very discouraged. I'm talking about a life, praise God, that whom He has made free is free indeed. I'm talking about giving an encouragement to a brother and sisters to enjoy and grow in their liberty in Christ. You're free. Praise the Lord. Encouraging everyone that knows the word of the Lord to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, I will say very confidently, Paul is encouraging Timothy, brother, this is the key to the midst of the throne. This is it. This is the final farewell. This is the word of the Lord in the greatest of encouragement, because this is the very love of the very heart of God. It's all by His grace. Tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.